a bit of reportage about Wayne Swan approving an investment proposal every 9 days from China. China to buy up Australian businesses, Australian resources and what have you. He's given a speech. He gave a fairly important speech about our relationship with China from an economic perspective and, more importantly, from an ownership perspective. Who owns what Australian resources and Australian companies in the past week. Now, one bloke has always impressed me as having a pretty good handle on the extent to which foreign companies own our resources and assets is Stephen Main from crikey.com. He's on the phone. Steve, g'day, mate.
Hi, Smithy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, well, thanks. Hey, Stephen, you maintain a what I would suggest is probably the most authoritative, in that it's unique, list. I think you're the only one, of precisely who owns what, you know, when it comes to foreign ownership of Australian assets and companies and what have you, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's right. It's a pretty big beast to keep track of because, I mean, there's literally about 280 foreign companies that turn over more than $200 million a year in Australia.
Yep.
And there's about more than 10 who own more than $10 billion worth of assets here. So particularly focused in the resources area. So it's pretty hard to keep track of, but I try to keep up with it, yeah.
Now, many of the people that we're talking to spend a lot of time on the internet and what have you. Just give your website a plug. Tell people where they can find these lists.
Oh, it's just mainreport.com.
So M-A-Y-N-E.
E-report.com.
Good on you, Stephen. Thank you. What did Wayne Swan have to say in relation to Chinese investment in Australia?
Well, he billed it as a very big speech to the Australia-China Business Council last Friday, where sort of off the record he was briefing journalists saying that he's going to take a hard line and there's no way he's going to allow holus bolus takeovers by Chinese government companies. But if you actually read the text of the speech, he was attempting to reassure Chinese investors that they weren't being discriminated against and that they would only have a sort of a national interest test.
Stephen, you're not suggesting that our treasurer had one message for Australian domestic consumption and one message for our friends in China.
Well, I think that was precisely what he's doing because he's in a very difficult position, Smithy. I mean, how would you be if you suddenly found yourself treasurer of the country and in the previous couple of financial years there'd been about $10 billion worth of applications from Chinese investors to invest in Australia, and then in your first 8 months as treasurer you had $30 billion worth of applications and you found yourself approving one every 9 days.
Yeah.
And the point about this is that these aren't just companies, these are government-controlled companies. So these are companies controlled by Chinese government, communist, totalitarian,
yeah,
state, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So pretty tricky thing to see an unprecedented deluge from a foreign government that's undemocratic when you're a nation like Australia, which traditionally has welcomed foreign investment with open arms.
And the big issue here is the extent of the stockpiles of cash that China is accumulating and the ease with which it can come in and purchase assets, which to us are huge assets, but which in the scale of Chinese wealth are not.
Well, the Chinese have got $1.8 trillion of foreign reserves. So the average Chinaman's pretty poor, but the actual government's got a pile of cash unprecedented anywhere in the world. And, you know, when you've got this massive industrialisation with hundreds of millions of Chinese moving from inland agricultural farming areas to the urbanising cities, you need a whole pile of iron ore in particular to build these cities. So they see the iron ore in particular as the lifeblood of their urbanisation and development. So they're doing everything they can to lock up supplies as much as they can. So there's been literally, you know, well, about 15 different investments in iron ore plays over the last 8 or 9 months, and just today we've seen Sinosteel, a Chinese government company, get to just under 50% of a WA miner called Midwest Corp, which is the first time ever a Chinese government company has launched a hostile takeover bid for another stock on a stock market, and today they've got to 50%. So, that's one of many.
And the important point that you raise here, Stephen, is that this is not a free market economy. This is not Chinese businesses with shareholders driven by a profit imperative, as much as it is Chinese government, the communist government, and their sovereign wealth, their state-based wealth funds that are buying into these assets in Australia.
Oh, well, that's exactly right. And, I mean, you know, we raise concerns about what are the Chinese doing in Darfur and what are they doing sending arms to Zimbabwe and and what are their issues with human rights and Tibet, and we have all these issues, and at the same time, we now have the Chinese government owning more business assets in Australia than the Australian government owns. So if you add up the value of the government stake in Telstra and Aussie Post and these things, it's less than the value of the Chinese government investment in parts of the Northwest Shelf, the fact that they're the biggest shareholder in Rio Tinto, which owns, you know, more than $100 billion of assets, that they now control a Timor Sea oil field called the Puffin oil field, which they've just paid $600 million for. And they're spending, I think, $3 billion up there in Aurukun, developing the big bauxite project up there, which Noel Pearson has been one person who's been complaining about land grabs, etc., up there in far north Queensland. So right across the country, whether it's bauxite, aluminium, coal, they've snapped up 20% of MacArthur Coal, which is the company Ken Talbot used to run, which is tied up with the whole Gordon Nuttall affair. So the Chinese are in there with a big slice of that. They've today got control of a Midwest Corp. They're the biggest shareholder in Rio Tinto, and the list goes on and on.
So, and this is critical for Australia, because as we hear endlessly, our wealth is being driven by the growth of China and India to a lesser extent as customers of ours. Now, if China owns the businesses in Australia that are creating the wealth, nothing there for Australia.
Well, it works two ways. I mean, we're making a fortune because the Chinese customers are paying huge amounts for our iron ore. So literally iron ore and to a lesser extent coal is going to add an extra $40 billion to Australian income next year. And China is the biggest driver of that. So at one level, you know, the stock market today is at a new two-year low. Everything's been falling. We've got a big debt crisis, a global debt crisis. And China is saving our share market because they're pouring in so much cash to buy our resource companies, and they're buying our resource companies' products. So at one level, they're saving us. But at another level, you know, obviously Australia's got a pretty woeful record with foreign ownership. You know, we own nothing of anything in Mount Isa anymore.
When you say saving us, Stephen, it's like the bloke next door saying, listen, oh, yeah, I'll pay your mortgage payments for you for a little while, mate, until he's paid them all and he owns the house.
Well, that's right. You've got to ask yourself where you finish up if you don't own much.
Yeah.
I mean, Australia's got a lot to, you know, I reckon we should be pretty embarrassed about things like, you know, we're the world's biggest island without a shipping company. We're a nation of tourists without a hotel company. I mean, we traditionally don't have any IT companies. We traditionally don't really produce that many world-beating international companies. I mean, there's, you know, Westfield and Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. There's a few out there, but not enough. We do far better at the Olympics in sport than we do in the global competition for business. And one of our biggest problems is the fact that we have sold off so much of the farm over the years, so particularly in the resources sector.
And you started this discussion by saying Wayne Swan, our treasurer, said to Australian journalists, "No, I'm going hard on China. I'm going to hold them back. They won't get past the Foreign Investment Review Board," but he's saying to the Chinese, no worries, come in.
Well, this is the confusing message. The Australian on Saturday, with their business commentator Matthew Stevens, opened up his column with the following. Wayne Swan yesterday delivered a defining message to China Inc. that the federal government would block moves to take control of Australian resource companies or projects. But then Wayne Swan says that he's approved one every 9 days,
yep.
And there hasn't actually been one that's been publicly knocked back yet. So apparently, in the secretive world of the Foreign Investment Review Board, Wayne Swan's been tweaking a few proposals and telling the odd Chinese company, well, can you keep it to 49%, mate? And, can you give me another 60 days? And there's been a lot of sort of huffing and puffing and toing and froing. But in terms of whether there is actually any sort of deal that Wayne Swan will say, no, we don't think this asset should fall into the hands of a foreign government, he's yet to do that. And for all the huffing and puffing, I mean, I'm not saying he should, but he really needs, I think, to be more transparent. And every time he improves an investment, it should be disclosed. So it should be, well, this one's come in, I've said this is fine, I've approved it for these reasons. Whereas at the moment, it's all this sort of, you know, smoke-filled rooms and lobbyists, and no one really knows what's going on.
Yeah, and Mandarin-speaking politicians.
That's right.
Stephen Mayne, you speak a lot of sense. Thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thanks, Nitty. Cheers.
Yeah, Michael Smith here on 4BC.